If you would, take and open your Bibles to, I'm sure, a very, very familiar passage of Scripture to probably everyone, nearly everyone in here, maybe, if not everyone. John chapter 3 tonight. This is not the passage I had intended to preach on. I had been working on another message, but I just didn't have the peace that I felt that I needed to continue with that, working on that message. And so I simply stopped and I just said, Lord, help me. I don't want to just get up and preach a message. I want to preach what you want me to preach, what your people need to hear. Amen. Now, I realize that I'm more or less preaching to the choir tonight as far as this message, at least as far as it would seem. I don't know exactly why the Lord directed me with this, but he impressed upon me and I had peace about it, and so that's what I'm going to do, endeavor to do by his grace. I pray that it will be a help and a blessing to you. I know that that probably everyone in this room is, and perhaps in this building that's of age, of above the age of accountability, is here tonight saved. I trust that you are. If not, the Lord knows, and you know, but at any rate, I pray that the blessing, that the message, the Lord will bless the message tonight, bless His word. And I know that His promise is it will not return into Him void, but it will accomplish that which He sends it forth to do. So if you would quickly just stand for a moment tonight as we read the passage of Scripture here, John chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 14 and read down through verse 17 as a place to start. The Bible says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would bless this message tonight, Lord. This is your word. Father, I pray that the people will hear from you tonight, Lord. Speak to each one of us tonight, I pray, through your holy word, by your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray the Spirit of God would be in control of all that's said and done here tonight, Lord. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die for us on the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everyone that's here tonight that's saved. Lord, I pray that's everyone. Lord, I pray that you'll just bless this message to our hearts, Lord. If it's not for someone here tonight, Lord, perhaps it's for us to take to someone close to our hearts tonight, Lord. From here, Lord, have your will and way. Thank you for all that you do for us and all that you're going to do. We commit it to you with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was preparing the other message this evening, and I, like I said, I didn't really have peace about continuing with it. I just stopped and I asked the Lord to direct me, you know, what do I need to preach? And I began to think about immediately, almost, if I only had one message, if I only had one message to preach, if I only had one passage of Scripture to use, maybe if I only had one verse of Scripture to use out of the whole Word of God, what would it be? And immediately my mind came back to the first Scripture that I ever learned. My mother taught it to me at the age of 4. The Gospel in a nutshell, if you will, John 3:16. I'm sure that probably just about everyone, including young people, could stand up tonight here and quote that verse from memory. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It was a message I endeavored to share with my friend Billy Wiggs, that we've been praying for. He'd heard it from me, he'd heard it from others, he heard it from Brother Fogg. No telling how many people may have shared that with him. You can't make somebody be saved. You can only tell them what the Bible says. You can give them the Word of God. You can pray for them. You can ask the Spirit of God to work on their heart. Ultimately, it's a personal decision as to whether or not they're going to believe and receive Christ. To my knowledge, Billy did not. And probably about midway through our service Wednesday night, he passed into eternity. And that's where he is. I pray maybe that at the last moment or something, he might have had enough presence of mind to call upon the Lord. I don't know. I prayed with him that afternoon when I saw him before I came to church. Prayed with him, prayed for him. A nurse was in talking to him about his situation, and he was glad to see me. He was glad to have prayer, but he hadn't made that decision yet. So I don't know what he did. If he didn't, it's too late now. Those are terrible, terrible words. Too late. Too late. Why would anyone want to wait till it's too late? In John chapter 3 here tonight, we have the account of the Lord Jesus speaking to a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. If you'll go back to verse number 1 in chapter 3, I know that you're able to read all of these yourself, and you don't need me to read it for you, but this is the Word of God, and I'm not up here trying to, I don't have a fancy message as it would be or anything. We have a good pastor and a good preacher. And he loves the Lord, and he preaches wonderfully, and he preaches God's word true, and he loves this church, and he loves the church family, and he loves souls, and I do too, and I want to be a help and a blessing tonight. I don't want to waste your time. This won't be a long message, I don't think, but I pray that what is said will help in some way. Encourage you, whatever the Lord would have accomplished tonight, that it will be accomplished for His honor and glory. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That was a straightforward response. Jesus said, Truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Didn't say he wasn't going to be there. Just said he can't even see it. Won't even see it. Nicodemus then answered him and saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Wasn't thinking spiritually, thinking carnally, fleshly. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus comes back and says, answered him, said unto him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." You know, the reference here to Moses and the serpent in the wilderness, I'm sure many of you remember or have read that and studied it perhaps in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. I'm going to turn there just for a moment. You don't need to turn there, but you're welcome to if you desire. Numbers 21. We know that the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness, and they were constantly griping, complaining. Nothing suited them. And we see in verse number 7, "Therefore the people came to Moses." Let me back up just a little bit here, and verse number 4. "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Now there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread,'" speaking of the manna. "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And as Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on the pole, it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." And we see that the Lord Jesus Christ made reference of that here in John chapter 3, speaking about his upcoming death on the cross. "As Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Jesus was lifted up on the cross for us, nailed to that old rugged cross. He didn't deserve to be there. That was our cross. We should have been there, but he took our place. He died in our stead. He shed his blood for us. He paid the debt so we could go free. Thank you, Lord. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him," Jesus, "might be saved. Verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." I tried to impress upon Billy that, you know, we're not saved by works. You know, he said, "But I'm trying to change my ways and change my attitudes and so forth." And I said, "That's good. That's good. Nothing wrong with trying to do right, but that won't get you to heaven, Billy. That won't save you. Only Jesus can save you. He's already done everything necessary for you to be saved. He's just waiting on you to call upon Him in faith and repentance and trust Him and be born again. And you can go to heaven. Your name will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can walk around on streets of gold better than you can on the pavement here on this earth. You'd be able to breathe up there the fresh, clean, pure air of heaven. Not have to struggle with an oxygen tank down here on earth. I don't know. I honestly, when you look at the scriptures and what God has done for us, I just don't understand. How can people turn that down? How can they turn their nose up at God? How can they say, I don't need that. I'm okay. I'm independent. I'll get along. Or that's just a bunch of hooey. I don't believe it. Y'all just a bunch of weirdos or whatever. I don't know. They're just lost. But God loves them. And we have an obligation to take the gospel to them. The Great Commission tells us to take the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to every person all over the world. Physically, we can't go all around the world to do that. That's why we have missionaries. That's why we support our missionaries, because God has placed a call upon their heart and their lives, and they've surrendered to go where we can't go, but we can support them. We can give to the cause of missions, and every person that they go, wherever they go, around the world, to whatever field God calls them, they preach the gospel and people get saved, and we help send them there. We have a reward. We have a part in that too. Praise be to God. I just don't understand why people would pass up heaven for hell. It just doesn't make any sense. I'm thankful that God loves us. I'm thankful that He loved me. Thankful that He saved me. I'm reminded of a song in our hymn book. We find it on page 67. You don't need to turn there. I just want to use it for reference here tonight. Beautiful song. I'm sure you know it. Many of you know it. Called At Calvary. Starts out in first verse says, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Verse 3 says, now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. The Bible says in verse 18 of John chapter 3, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And that reminds me of a passage in Proverbs chapter 16. And I'm going to turn back there for just a moment and share that with you. Proverbs 16 verses 17 through 19. I usually try to type these things out or print them out, but my printer's down, so I'll just have to do it the old-fashioned way tonight. Proverbs chapter 16 and verses 17 through 19. It was the sin that took Lucifer down from heaven to make him what he became. That serpent, Satan, the devil. And it's a sin that's prevalent in mankind today, in all of us, to one extent or another, at one point or another. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 17 through 19, unless I wrote. Yes. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Thank God for the light of this world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one other passage of scripture I want to share with you, and I'll be close to through. Acts chapter 16. You're familiar with that passage, I'm probably sure, and that's Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, incarcerated not because they had done anything wrong, but because they were preaching the word of God. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed, and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Oh, praise God for his power. He sent the earthquake, he opened the doors, he loosed the bonds. That's what he does for us in the matter of sin. We're shackled. Shackled with sin. Shackled with the penalty and the shame of sin. He shakes the foundation. He opens the doors. He cuts loose the bonds and makes us free in Christ. Praise God. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in. He didn't just walk in, he sprang in. And came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of that night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Sirs, What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So simple. Yet so many people, they just won't do it. But it's not us, it's not up to us to say. That's God's job and He'll do it. It's our job to take the message to them. It's our job to give them the gospel, plain and simple, with a broken heart. I'm reminded the Bible tells us, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again bearing his sheaves, bringing his sheaves with him. I pray that the Lord will continue to bless our church. I thank the Lord for our pastor who has a passion and a love for souls. I thank you. I thank the Lord for a church membership that is faithful to come and hear the Word of God, and hopefully all of us will get a greater burden for the lost. Amen. There's no reason why every seat in this auditorium shouldn't be filled tonight. There's plenty of people here. Plenty of people. I mean, there are a lot of churches. I understand that. There are some churches I pray they're preaching the Word of God. There are a lot of churches that are, who knows what they're preaching. There's a lot of churches that aren't even open tonight. A lot of churches don't open on Sunday night or Wednesday night anymore. Praise God. We still meet Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and other nights of the week when we have the opportunity. Praise the Lord. You know, back in the first century, church, they met daily. I mean, if we think 3 days a week's a tough row to hoe to go to church, I mean, they met every day. I don't know. Would to God we could get back to that. It might be a real blessing. We just have church every day. You know, I mean, I say, well, how are you going to work and go to church? Well, I don't know. Leave that up to the Lord. He'll work it out. I'll just share this quickly before we close. It was a vision, I don't know, it may not have been a practical vision, but it was a vision that I had at one time. And with God, all things are possible. But years ago, before I ever lived here in Denton, I had a vision of a church, a 24-hour church. You say, well, how in the world are you going to have a 24-hour church? Well, you have to have probably more than one minister, more than one pastor, I mean a pastor, but more than one person preaching or there to take care of folks. But, you know, what if, you know, I know people work, some people work, they won't come to church because they're at work and so forth, but they don't work 24 hours a day. So if you had a church that was open and you had a service at different times of the day, throughout the day and throughout the night, how many people could you reach that way? Like I said, it was just a dream or a vision, and but with God, all things are possible. I mean, I suppose if someone had the, someone had the burden and God was leading them, I mean, it could come to pass. I don't, but I'm thankful for the opportunities that we have to meet here and hear the Word of God and to worship the Lord and then to take that message with us when we leave out of here, out of these four walls and out these doors, out into the community. Just like it says on our track, Jesus saves. The Amazing Grace Baptist Church. And Jesus saves wherever people are, if they hear the message, if the Holy Spirit will work and convict their heart, if they'll humble themselves and repent and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, believing, they'll be saved. It works. It's worked from the onset. It still works today, and it'll keep on working as long as it needs to work till Jesus comes again. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time together in your house tonight. Lord, thank you for your holy, precious word. Lord, I've not brought an exciting message or anything, Lord, but yet I've endeavored to share your word, and God, your word is exciting. To me it is, Lord, and I believe it is to your people. Lord, I pray you'll help us to get a fresh vision, Lord, of souls. And Father, help us to do whatever we can, Lord, to to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, to endeavor to see them, Lord, receive Christ. Lord, we can't make anyone believe, can't make anyone receive. We can tell them, and Lord, we can pray that your Holy Spirit will then take over. Lord, I pray that in the days ahead, Lord, we'll begin to see this church being filled with people, Lord. People coming to hear the gospel, and getting saved, walking the aisle, making a public profession of faith in Christ, and being baptized, and then, Lord, coming and getting discipled and plugged in, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you'll help us to go out in the highways and hedges, Lord, and share the gospel with them, Lord, and do everything we can to get them, Lord, not only to share the gospel with them, but, Lord, help us to get them here where they could make a public profession of faith, and Lord, where they'd have a place, Lord, that if you so lead, that they could call this their church home. Lord, we can only do what we can do, and then we have to depend on you to do the rest. But Lord, thank you, because nothing is impossible with you. Father, bless the invitation time tonight, please, and work in every heart and life your perfect will. Thank you again for your holy word. In Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano begins to play softly, we open the altars. If you want to come and pray, feel led of the Lord to do that, please feel free to do so.